Welcome to The Onion on Sun Sounds of Arizona, Arizona's reading station. My name is Frank Sheelan, and it'll be my pleasure to be your volunteer radio reader for the next half hour. The Onion is a parody of news and commentary and contains material that some people will find offensive. Listener discretion is advised. The top story in this week's news, Rush Limbaugh admits Presidential Medal of Freedom, less of an honor knowing that Rosa Parks, Maya Angelou also received it, Dateline Washington, saying his initial enthusiasm had faded away after learning about the award's history. Conservative radio personality Rush Limbaugh conceded Wednesday that receiving the Presidential Medal of Freedom was less than an honor, knowing it had been bestowed upon Rosa Parks and Maya Angelou as well. While I understand this medal represents the highest civilian honor possible, I was a bit disconcerted to discover this morning that I share this distinction with both a civil rights icon and a poet who gave a voice to Black Americans, said Limbaugh, who explained that he hopes people don't doubt his integrity as he joins the ranks of the award's previous recipients, especially Cecily Tyson, Ralph Ellison, Archbishop Desmond Tutu, Stevie Wonder, and Willie Mays. I almost sent it back, but instead, I have decided to keep my Medal of Freedom and let it stand as a testament to my willingness to tolerate others. I hope my acceptance of it will go some way toward reclaiming this honor from the Martin Luther Kings and Nelson Mandelas of the world. At press time, Limbaugh confirmed he felt more confident that the award meant something after learning it had also been given to Henry Kissinger and Strom Thurmond. Next, 2020 race upended after new poll finds Trump, Democrats trailing mysterious rune-covered obelisk by 80 points. Dateline Rockport, Indiana. Revealing that the latest addition to the presidential race had totally upended the 2020 election, a national poll conducted by a research firm Monday found that President Donald Trump, as well as every single Democratic candidate, were now trailing a mysterious rune-covered obelisk by 80 points. The newest numbers, which come from Emerson College, found that the 200-foot-tall pillar, which reportedly has cryptic glowing symbols engraved on its surface, is now dominating among Democrats, Republicans, and Independents. Several major polls also indicated that after the monolithic column suddenly materialized in a cornfield and began emitting a low humming noise, statisticians observed an extreme uptick in voters who previously supported Bernie Sanders, Joe Biden, Pete Buttigieg, Elizabeth Warren, Andrew Yang, Amy Klobuchar, Tom Steyer, Mike Bloomberg, and Donald Trump, announcing in unison that they intended to cast their ballot for the one true candidate, the obelisk. From its late entrance into the race to the way it attracts people from all over the political spectrum, the obelisk is really what you'd call a dark horse candidate, said pollster Leslie Favichar, adding that the voters responded positively to its imposing figure and independent gravitational field. Sure, this arcane column made from some indeterminable material could have ended up another Tom Steyer or Michael Bloomberg, but now Americans of virtually every demographic, regardless of age, gender, race, or religion, are connecting with the obelisk's mesmerizing thrum. Voters really seem to relate to this Washington outsider that comes from a realm unknown to science, Favichar added. According to pollsters, out of the 500 rural Indiana residents surveyed, over 99% pledged total obedience to the infallible obelisk. In addition, respondents said that they felt confident about the future after gazing upon the constantly shifting runes emblazoned on the monolith. When asked if they would consider voting for a candidate other than the obelisk, those surveyed were either heard screaming in pain or answered, "The obelisk is all. We are the obelisk. According to the Federal Election Commission, the obelisk has already shattered all fundraising records as compliant Americans from across the country emptied their bank accounts and flocked to the mystifying pillar to drop all of their earthly possessions in front of it. Polls also showed that pro-obelisk Democrats and Republicans did not mind that the obelisk was registered with a party by the name of indecipherable runic language. When I felt the rumble beneath me and saw a white-hot screaming obelisk suddenly appear out of thin air, I knew that was the candidate for me, said Iowa voter Aaron Yalder, 49, adding that while he had been undecided for months, the obelisk blinded him and commanded him to drop all other political allegiances. Sure, I like that Sanders supports the United Steelworkers Union, and I like that Trump is tough on crime, but there was just something about that deep, low voice, speaking in a language I could not comprehend, occupying my every thought and controlling my every move. There is only the obelisk, Yalder added. How can you argue with that? While the enigmatic column has only been in the race for less than 24 hours, the obelisk has also secured the endorsements of numerous leading political figures, such as Congresswoman Nancy Pelosi, Democrat of California, Senator Mitch McConnell, Republican of Kentucky, as well as former Presidents Jimmy Carter, George W. Bush, and Barack Obama, who have all been spotted with the obelisk, unconscious, floating hundreds of feet above the ground. Even organizations such as Priorities USA, America First, and Citizens United have thrown their support and money behind the mysterious pillar, citing it as the one choice, the only choice. Look, when it comes to politics, there is no other candidate that is connected with all Americans' past and all Americans' future and has pledged to reinstate the Clean Waters Act, said Jessica Carling, a leader at Super PAC American Bridge, rending her clothes and filling the obelisk ruin with the blood of her newborn. I've been doing this for over 50 years, and it's not just the fact I am its vessel, and it is my one true God, and I would murder anyone for the obelisk. Anyone, just tell me, I'll kill them. It's the fact that it really cares about the American people. It's 2020, and this is going to be an election like we've never seen before, she added while bowing down to the obelisk and self-flagellating with a tulip tree branch. At press time, the obelisk, which reportedly vaporized Senator Amy Klobuchar after she denounced the monolith as divisive, immediately surged to a 100% approval rating. Next, mom still seething over car that blew through stop sign 15 years ago. Dateline Augusta, Georgia. Tightening her grip on the steering wheel as she approached the notorious intersection, local mom Helen Schumacher was reportedly still seething Monday over a car that blew through a stop sign 15 years ago. It was so inconsiderate. He clearly saw me, said Schumacher, who furrowed her brow and shook her head while recalling how the vehicle blatantly sped right through the crossing without any regard for oncoming traffic. It's so dangerous. I still remember that it was a white Camry. I almost honked. And you know there's a school right down the street. It's like the driver didn't think that he could have gotten hurt too. At press time, Schumacher conceded that at least it wasn't as bad as the time in 2002 when that blue Taurus pulled out of the Sears parking lot like a total maniac. Next, he's a cop, say Bernie backers withdrawing support after realizing candidate vying to be commander-in-chief. Dateline New York, expressing disappointment that the longtime senator was just another part of the establishment, once vocal supporters of Bernie Sanders withdrew their backing for the presidential candidate Monday after realizing he was vying to become commander-in-chief of the U.S. Armed Forces. Bernie talks a big game about being progressive, but he also wants to lead the world's largest military, right? No thanks, pig, said Brooklyn-based campaign volunteer Masha Erley. expressing the sentiments of many former Sanders proponents who derided the White House hopeful as a dirty cop for seeking to wield the strength of a vast global superpower with nearly $700 billion in an annual defense budget. I was pretty excited for Medicare for All, but not if it means I have to vote for a guy who's going to be giving orders at the Pentagon. We're talking about an organization complicit in torture at Abu Ghraib, massacres in Vietnam, and a whole slew of war crimes going back to the Mexican-American War. Clearly, Bernie is some sort of plant. At press time, sources confirmed Sanders' remaining supporters have trickled away after they discovered the avowed anti-billionaire candidate apparently nursed hopes of moving into the nation's 132-room executive mansion. Next, health officials warn it is impossible to tell if American cruise ship passengers suffering from coronavirus or just like that. Dateline Washington. In a concerning development regarding the potentially deadly epidemic, health officials warned Monday that it was impossible to tell if American cruise ship passengers had contracted coronavirus or if they were just like that. After extensive observation, we are still unable to determine if the passengers aboard our nation's cruise ships have coronavirus or if the potential symptoms are simply a result of their lifestyle choices, said Health and Human Services Secretary Alex Azar, telling reporters that runny noses and headaches experienced by passengers may be due to decades of poor eating habits and lack of exposure to the outdoors. We've received dozens of reports of Americans struggling to breathe and generally feeling unwell. And while this definitely could be the result of the coronavirus, it could just as likely be due to the prevalence of drink specials and all-you-can-eat seafood buffets aboard ship. At one point, we were fairly certain that we had found an outbreak, but it turned out the passengers' profuse sweating and pallid skin were the result of them having to walk up a flight of stairs when the ship's elevator was out of order. Azar added that the HHS had determined that the bloated skin, dehydration, and prolonged vomiting experienced by American cruise ship passengers had nothing whatsoever to do with the coronavirus. Next, man crippled by fear of failure as if it hadn't already happened. Dateline Sterling, Colorado. Unable to make any major decisions, lest he ruin his sad little life, local man Bill Cross remained crippled by fear of failure Monday as if it hadn't already happened. I'm scared I'm going to choose the wrong career path or marry the wrong woman and totally regret it later, said Cross, remaining concerned that if he takes a risk and it doesn't pan out, that he could end up as pathetic as he already is right now. I've got big plans, and once I'm absolutely certain I can reach my goals without failing, I'll start trying to achieve them. What if I attempt to run a marathon or learn to play the guitar and I can't do it? I'll have nothing to show for myself, just like I have nothing to show for myself today. I can't allow myself to end up like my dad and with his good job and fulfilling home life. At press time, Cross had turned down a promotion at work after insisting he wasn't qualified and would mess it all up. Next, increasingly unhinged centrists announced plan to round up nation into camps to force them to engage in meaningful dialogue, Dateline Washington. Explaining that they were forced to take more radical measures to ensure the success of their moderate political platform, increasingly unhinged U.S. centrists announced Monday their plan to round up the nation's populace into camps to force them to engage in meaningful dialogue. As more Americans adopt left-wing or right-wing views, compromise to a moderate position will require more drastic action, which is why we've decided to herd every last American into trains and bring them to camps encircled in barbed wire where they will be forced to discuss their views at gunpoint, said a wild-eyed Leland Welsh, spokesperson for the centrist think tank Third Way, which was behind the funding of the large open-air detention center, where divided Americans would be forced to shake hands until their palms bled and go without food and water until they agreed to understand and embrace the positions of their political opponents. We believe that all Americans possess the capacity to find a middle ground on every single issue, which is why we're going to force their eyes open to read opinion pieces by their political adversaries, make them listen to speeches by Hillary Clinton and Mitt Romney blaring on loudspeakers 24 hours a day, and compel them to remain standing for long periods of time while our guards screamed, "We can all get along." In these camps, expressions of animosity towards another inmate's belief system or uttering anything besides the phrase, "But that's just my opinion and I'd love to hear yours," will be punishable by death. We will stop at nothing to ensure that all Americans hold the exact same centrist belief system. The visibly crazed political centrist added that if the camps were unable to force any Americans to find common ground with one another, they would sell them in new slave markets to a company that would. Next, study finds dating apps most effective way to find everyone your age apparently kayaking now. Dateline Ann Arbor, Michigan. In what researchers are calling a significant cultural shift in the way young people are forging new social bonds, a new University of Michigan study revealed Monday that modern dating apps have become the single most effective way for individuals to determine that everyone in their age group was now into kayaking. It used to be that singles would have to go out to bars, approach strangers, and initiate conversations with people to discover that their generation had taken up kayaking. But our study would seem to indicate that such forthright extroversion is no longer necessary, said lead researcher Joseph Yoon, noting that Tinder, Hinge, Bumble, and other popular apps were now the preeminent tool for finding others in your area who, by all accounts, seemed to be spending a lot of free time paddling around rivers and lakes. Our research shows that nearly 100% of singles aged 22 to 45 are into kayaking now, a figure we could only have guessed at before the advent of these apps. In today's world, there is no longer any need to consult your coworkers or friends of friends. Just swipe your finger across your phone and voila, you have access to a whole crop of strangers your age kayaking and documenting the occasion with photos. Yoon added that the proliferation of these apps has also greatly destigmatized the once shameful process of finding out about everyone kayaking. And now it's time for Onion Sports. Adorable Super Bowl encourages fans to adopt abandoned stray football players. Dateline Miami. In an effort to get the word out that these were huggable guys in need of love and a good home, an adorable little Super Bowl was put on Sunday, encouraging fans to adopt previously abandoned and stray football players. "We just hope that by seeing all of our players out there romping around and having some fun, some kind souls will open their hearts and decide to bring Sherman or Kittle into their family," said local football shelter volunteer Sherry Adams, who revealed that she had adopted two of her own wide receivers after last year's Super Bowl. "They are all so worthy of love. Obviously, Garoppolo is adorable, but Bosa is tons of fun and has a great personality. And Mahomes has lots of energy and will run all over the place with you. They are all so special, and we hope that by the end of the day, every one of them will be on their way to their forever home." Adams did caution that Tyreek would be better suited for an older household as he's not good with kids. Next, Mike Shanahan storms onto Super Bowl field to berate ref for bullshit call against his boy. Dateline Miami. Pushing through the sidelines and causing a play to be called dead as he got in the official's face, former NFL coach Mike Shanahan stormed onto Hard Rock Stadium field Sunday evening to berate the referees for a bullshit call that went against his son, 49ers coach Kyle Shanahan. "You son of a bitch. You've had it out for Kyle this entire game. You must be fucking blind if you think that was a penalty," shouted Shanahan, shoving the referee as several players tried to intervene and his wife begged him to calm down and come back to the stands. "You're just jealous because he's a star. If you've got a problem with us, maybe you should be a real man and we can take this out back. And you haven't called a single fucking thing on that Mahomes kid either. Did someone pay you off? Who the hell is your boss? Because I'm going to make sure you're out on the street after this." At press time, Shanahan was being removed from the field and placed in the stadium's holding cell after spitting in the referee's face. Next, victorious Patrick Mahomes thanks Bears for drafting Mitchell Trubisky. Dateline Miami. Crediting general manager Ryan Pace for playing an instrumental role in advancing his career, Super Bowl champion Patrick Mahomes thanked the Chicago Bears Sunday for selecting Mitchell Trubisky instead of him in the 2017 NFL Draft. "I would have never had this opportunity to compete for a championship if I had ended up on the Bears," said Mahomes during a post-game interview, expressing his gratitude to the Chicago franchise for sparing him from years of mediocrity and career frustration. "There was some tense moments on draft day when it looked like I might be heading to Chicago, but luckily God had other plans for me. Instead of lifting this trophy, I could be languishing at the bottom of the NFC North and running for my life after every snap behind a terrible offensive line. I'm so glad I get to throw to Tyreek Hill and Sammy Watkins my whole career instead of whoever the hell is on the Bears." Mahomes added that he only hopes all the current Bears players get as lucky as he did. Next, embarrassed Ben Simmons retracts criticism of Sixers after remembering he's on the team. Dateline Philadelphia. Expressing feelings of embarrassment that he didn't stop and think before calling out the roster's total lack of effort, Ben Simmons retracted his criticism of the 76ers Wednesday after remembering that he plays for the team. "I feel like an idiot. I would have never called the team soft if I'd realized that I'm the starting point guard," said the 23-year-old, admitting that he felt foolish for asking the Sixers to take more accountability for the defensive assignments, knowing that he would have to go back into the locker room with those very players. "Honestly, it totally slipped my mind that I'm signed here through 2025. I just assumed I was attacking one of our rivals when I lashed out after the game. Believe me, I'd never openly attack my own team like that. Forget everything I said about us needing more ball movement or offense or rotating better on D." At press time, Simmons retracted a trade demand after realizing he already plays for a title contender. And in other news today, study finds leading cause of childhood obesity, witches fattening up children to be eaten. Dateline Atlanta. Urging parents to learn about the dangers lurking in the enchanted forest, a new study from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention found Monday that the leading cause of childhood obesity was malevolent witches fattening up children with an intention to eat them. "Our findings show that more and more Americans have been wandered into the woods, only to be accosted by an old magical crone who wants nothing more than to plump them up like a piggy and get them ready for stew," said CDC Chief of Staff Kyle McGowan, noting a strong statistical correlation between rising BMI percentages and children eating all the Turkish Delight bread pudding and homemade taffy that their little hearts desire. Unfortunately, the correlation between excess weight gain and being placed in a steaming cauldron by a witch while she hand-feeds you cherry pie and cackles is extremely high. And what's worse, by the time these children find themselves on a dinner platter with an apple shoved in their mouths, it's already too late. While McGowan emphasized that there was no quick fix to this epidemic, he advised children to leave a trail of breadcrumbs wherever they go, just in case. Next, "You're allowed to be naked sometimes, but not other times," said Brad Pitt in baffling Oscars acceptance speech, Dateline Los Angeles. Eschewing traditional topics such as thanking colleagues or speaking out about political issues, Brad Pitt delivered a baffling Oscars acceptance speech for Best Supporting Actor Sunday, explaining that you're allowed to be naked sometimes, but not other times. Sometimes you have no choice but to wear clothes, and sometimes it's okay to take them off. It really just depends, said Pitt in a six-minute speech to a fidgeting, uncomfortable audience who had grown silent and were nervously eyeing the exits as the orchestra began trying to play him off the stage. There are occasions where being nude is actually preferable, like in the shower. Right now would be an inappropriate situation for being naked, but in a few hours, who knows? That said, there are situations where it's a sort of dealer's choice, where you can decide for yourself whether or not you want to be naked. At press time, the cast and crew who worked with Pitt on Once Upon a Time in Hollywood were tearing up and giving him a standing ovation. That concludes another edition of The Onion here on Sun Sounds of Arizona, Arizona's reading station. My name is Frank Sheeland. It's been my pleasure to be your volunteer radio reader for the last half hour. And until next time, be well.